Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Greeting, my dear brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is my joy to be with you. Today, we will be talking about Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam. What is a prophet? Can Muhammad be a prophet? All Muslims all over the world believe that Muhammad is a prophet, and he is the final prophet. He is the final messenger of Allah to this world. Obviously, they do not understand what does the Bible teach about a prophet. When we talk about prophet, we must go to the scripture. And in Deuteronomy chapter 13, the Bible tells us a special signs, special marks for any man who claim to be a prophet. It is not because I come to you and I say, I'm a prophet and here's my prophecy. And even if I give prophecy and this prophecy has been fulfilled, that means I am a true prophet. For the Bible gives us three important tests for a true prophet. We'll read about this in Deuteronomy chapter 13. And the Bible said, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. So what do we learn from these four verses, Deuteronomy chapter 13? There are three tests must be fulfilled in the prophet or the dreamer. The first is he must give a prophecy or a dream. The second, this prophecy or this dream must be fulfilled. And the third, he must lead the people to worship the God of Israel, the true God of the Bible. And if we examine the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, by such a test, we will discover that he is not a prophet. He cannot be a prophet. First of all, he never gave a prophecy. But Muslims claim that Muhammad is a prophet, and there is a prophecy in the Quran. Obviously, they're quoting in Quran chapter 30, verses 2 and 4, where Allah said, the Rom are defeated in a near part of the land, and after having been defeated, they will be victorious within a few years. To Allah is the affair before and after, and on that day the believers will rejoice. One prophecy where Muhammad delivered only a guess prophecy about the Romans winning a future battle? No date? No place is given, no detail. Imagine, my dear brothers and sisters, if I tell you in the near future, near your land or near your city, it will rain. What is a prophecy here? That is a joke. That's not a prophecy. I think our dear Muslim brothers and sisters need to know what is a prophecy. When we go and read in the Bible and learn about prophecy, you'll be shocked to know that in the Bible, when prophecy is given, it has more information, more detail than just a guess. Any militant man with common sense, when he sends his troops to the field, he will tell them, you're going to win. Any two football coach, if they play in a football game, any coach with common sense will tell his players, we're going to win the game. This is not a prophecy. This is just a good guess. And it's amazing. When we read this verse in the Arabic language, the word which Muslims claim it is a prophecy of Muhammad, sayaghlibun, can be also read in the Arabic language, sayaghlibun. So the word which Muhammad used, depend how you pronounce it, it could be they will win, it could be they will lose. So here we go. The one prophecy Muhammad put in the Quran, it could mean the Roman will win, or it could mean the Roman will lose. What a prophecy. Muhammad holding the stick in the middle. If they win, hey, his prophecy is fulfilled. If they lost, hey, his prophecy is fulfilled. That is not a prophecy. That is a joke. Playing with words. Within a few years, Muslim scholars said 3 to 9 years. Really? That's a prophecy? The next 10 years, somebody is going to win or somebody maybe lose? That is not a prophecy. I wish we have the time in the future to do a program just to talk about prophecy in the Bible. Let me just give you a quick example. When Isaiah gave us a prophecy concerning the birth of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, Isaiah wrote 700 years before Christ, a virgin will have a baby. That is a prophecy. A prophecy which make no sense at the time of its writing, because virgin cannot have a baby. Micah tell us where the baby will be born. Bethlehem of Ephrathah. Not just Bethlehem, exactly the city of Bethlehem of Ephrathah, because at the time of the birth of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, there were two cities. And if you concern the time of the birth of Jesus, exactly when he will be born, within days from the birth of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Another prophecy is given in the Bible by King David, which roughly around 1,000 years before our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ came in flesh. David prophesied that Jesus will die. What kind of death? The death where Jesus will be nailed from his hand and his feet. That is a great prophecy. Why? Because at this time, at the time of David, there was no crucifixion. But David is prophesying in the Bible and tell us how Jesus will be put to death. It is on the cross where nails will be in the hand and in the feet of our Savior. That is 700 years or so before the invention of crucifixion, which obviously has been made by the Roman people. When we read and study all what is written in the Quran, in the Hadith by Muhammad, a real study, a real search, we will discover that there is not one prophecy in the Quran. Muhammad never gave one prophecy, and nothing has been fulfilled. And he led the people, as we have seen previously, to worship Allah, the God of this world, the best deceiver, the one who lead people astray, the one who want and desire to fill hell with people. That is not the God of the Bible. Satan of the Bible is the God of Muhammad. Therefore, Muhammad cannot be a prophet. I would like to share with you a couple of verses from the Quran. From these two verses, we will realize not only the Bible clearly teach Muhammad cannot be a prophet, neither the Bible nor the Quran teach that Muhammad can be a prophet. Some of you may think that I'm a little bit exaggerating here. No, I'm not. I'm telling you the truth. Let's look together at these two verses in the Quran. In Quran chapter 45, verse 16, Allah in the Quran said, "And indeed, we gave the book and the wisdom and the prophethood to the children of Israel, and we provided them with the good things, and we favored them above the world." Did you just listen to what Allah said in the Quran? In Quran 45, 16, Allah is telling us that indeed, that's for sure, Allah is telling us that he gave the book. What book? The book of prophecy, the Bible, the Old Testament, the wisdom, and the prophethood to the children of Israel. He did not say to the children of Abraham, but to the children of Israel. Was Muhammad ever one of the children of Jacob, Israel? Absolutely not. Therefore, according to this verse, we come to the conclusion Muhammad cannot be a prophet. And notice that Allah in this verse, and that's one of the simple verses in the Quran which Muslims on purpose ignore, Allah said, he favored them. Them here is the children of Israel above the world. The chosen one, Israel, the Israelite, has been favored by Allah in the Quran above the world. That means the Jewish people has been favored by Allah in the Quran by the book and the wisdom and the prophethood. And that's the reality. All the prophets of the Bible came from the Jewish nation. All the prophets of the Bible came from the descendant of Israel, Jacob. And the question we must ask here, was Muhammad a descendant of Israel? Was Muhammad a descendant of Jacob? The answer, obviously, no. Therefore, Muhammad cannot be a prophet.
In our short time together here on Revealing the Truth About Islam, we can only cover a portion of all that we would like to share. Please take a few moments today and visit our website at www.thestraightway.org to find more information about the Straight Way of Grace Ministry and the Darkness of Islam. Our website has several links to many resources for further study, including a detailed listing of the many seminars we offer on DVD. Topics include, is the Quran infallible? Has the Bible been corrupted? The treatment of women in Islam? Muhammad or Christ? What the Quran teaches about Jesus? And many more. Have you always wanted to read what the Quran actually teaches, but didn't know which translation to trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the many violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After several years of research and networking with scholars around the world, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry has recently offered the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever published. Filled with study notes to the reader and a careful comparison of key passages of the Quran and the Bible, this translation will arm you with the knowledge you need in reaching those lost in the darkness of Islam. Please take a few moments today and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org for all these resources and more. And now, back to our show.
I'd like to share with you another very important verse in the Quran, in chapter 29 and verse 27. Can Muhammad be a prophet according to the Quran? In Quran 29 verse 27, and we granted him Isaac and Jacob, and we assigned the prophethood and the book to his descendants. One more time, 29, 27. Allah in the Quran said, we granted him. Who is him here? That's Abraham. Allah granted Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Notice he did not say Ishmael and Isaac, but he said Isaac and Jacob. And we assigned, which is a past tense, we assigned the prophethood and the book to his descendants. Who is his descendants? The descendant of Jacob, the last name we are talking about. Well, some Muslim may complain and say, no. His descendants here is Abraham. Why the Muslim will do that? Because they want to put into the descendants of Abraham Ishmael, which they obviously believe that he is the father of all the Arab, as Muhammad clearly taught in the Quran and the Hadith, that they are the descendant of Ishmael. No, my dear brothers and sisters, the Quran did not say we granted him, Abraham, Isaac and Ishmael. Obviously, if he will mention Ishmael, he should put Ishmael before Isaac, because Ishmael is the first son. But he did not say Ishmael and Isaac, but Isaac and Jacob. He is a descendant. Abraham have a son by the name Isaac, and Isaac have another son by the name Jacob. And Jacob obviously is Israel. As we just read previously in chapter 45, verse 16, he mentioned that they are the children of Israel, who have the wisdom and the prophethood. In the past tense, we gave the book. Here we see in this verse, in Quran 29:27, the prophethood has been assigned to his descendants, Jacob's descendants. Muhammad, according to the Quran, cannot be a prophet. Those who try to squeeze Ishmael in chapter 29:27, I have some sad news for them. All the Muslim around the world believes that Ishmael is the father of all Arab. As a matter of fact, that is not true. How do I know that Ishmael is not the father of Arab? It's very simple. I remember when I was in college, my brother, he used to live in Egypt at the time, he called me and he asked me if I will do a study, a search about where the Arab come from. I told him, this does not need to do a search. They are the children of Ishmael. And my brother said, no, you need to do a search. After I asked one of my professor at seminary to allow me to do the research, I was able to go to the library and read and do a study, which I would love for all Christian in the West to do the same thing. Don't believe me because just I'm telling you, but I want you to search it yourself as well. I was amazed when I picked up one of these books and I was doing this search about peoples and countries, this name Keturah, which we are all familiar with. When you go to the Bible and read in the book of Genesis chapter 25, the Bible introduced to us a new character in Abraham's life by the name Keturah. For the Bible said, Abraham again took a wife and her name was Keturah. And she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shuah. Jokshan begot Sheba and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were, and you hear all these hard names, which what we normally do here in America, when you get to the passage in the Bible with all this difficult name, we just skip this passage and move on to the following verses. And that is a problem. Do you know that these are the Arab ancestry? These are the fathers of all the Arab. It's amazing when you read this passage and you go down to verse 6. But Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had. And while he was still living, he sent them eastward away from Isaac, his son, to the country of the east. Where is this place, the country of the east? That is the Middle East. Do you know from such names we tie the descendant of Keturah to Arab country? For example, we read about Shuhites. That's one of the descendants of Keturah, Shuhite. Where do we learn about Shuhite in the Bible? Oh, in the story of Job. Job was an Arab man who lived also in the land of the east. So one of the friends of Job was one of the descendants of Keturah. Also, we hear about Midian. The Midianites are Arab. That's where, by the way, Moses lived for 40 years after he escaped Egypt, after he killed the Egyptian. And he was living on such land, which is near the Red Sea, where the Arab lived. Also, we read about Sheba, one of the names of the descendants of Keturah. Who is Sheba? Where we learn about Sheba, the queen of Sheba in the Bible. Remember this queen she met with Solomon? This is the queen of Yemen. Yemen, the country, the Arab country, which we hear a lot these days about in the news, with the riots which take place right now. So what I'm trying to say here, all these names which tie to Keturah's children, tie to Arab country, which we can see today on the map. Where does he live? In the land of the east. What about Ishmael? What about the Ishmaelites? We read about them also in the Bible in Genesis 25, verse 12. Now, this is the genealogy of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's maidservant, bore to Abraham. And then the Bible gives us all their names in verses 13, 14, 15. Where did these people live? Obviously, the Bible tells us the location where the Ishmaelite son. By the way, none of these names have any tie to Arab countries. The names of the sons of Ishmael have no ties to any Arab country. But the location where they live, it's amazing. The Bible tells us exactly where they live. We see this in verse 18. The Bible said, they dwelt from Havilah as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt as you go towards Assyria. That is where the Ishmaelites live. There is no tie between Ishmael descendant and Arab, not by names, not by cities, not by location where they live. They live in the north between Egypt and Assyria, which is Iran today. Arab, the descendant of Keturah, live in the land of the east, the Middle East, the Arab country. We tie the children of Keturah to the names of cities, and that's where the Arab live, even till today. Ishmaelites have no ties with Arab, and they live north between Egypt and Assyria. Now we will come to the most important question, which we will have a full program for it. Was Ishmael the son of Abraham, the man whom God asked Abraham to sacrifice, or Isaac. All Muslims all over the world believe that it was Ishmael, and the Jew changed their Bible and they changed the name from Ishmael to Isaac because of their jealousy. Does the Quran really teach that Ishmael is the one whom Allah asked Abraham to sacrifice, or Isaac? When we read the Quran and we read the Hadith, do we find that the sacrificed son whom Allah asked Abraham to sacrifice was Ishmael or Isaac? I would like to conclude our program today with this very important verse from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 13 and verse 5. The judgment of God, the punishment which God, the true God of the Bible, is given to any person who claims to be a prophet and he is not a true prophet. The Bible said, "But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeem you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst." That is the punishment according to the Bible to such men who claim to be a prophet and he was not a true prophet. What about the Quran? Muslims around the world claim that the Quran itself is a proof that Muhammad is a true prophet. For Muhammad was an illiterate man who did not know how to read or to write, and he was able to give us this beautiful, the great poetry in the Arabic language of the Quran. Isn't the Quran a great evidence that Muhammad is a true prophet? That is what we'll be discussing on the next program. And until we meet again, may God bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.